Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, the risk of losing income due to illness or injury is very real, and often it is something that is completely overlooked. Disability insurance isn't just about covering you, it's about protecting your lifestyle, your family, and I also guess your future. I want to shed some light on how South Africans can effectively safeguard their earnings, and in that respect, I'm in conversation with Sherry Tapfuma, Associate Financial Planner at Crew Invest. And the insights that featured in a recent article with Business Report offer, I think, some vital guidance on making disability cover work for you and your changing life and financial needs. So, Sherry, a very warm welcome. And your article starts by highlighting how disability risk isn't static. What does that mean?
Thank you for having me, Jeremy. So what we mean there is that disability insurance is not a set and forget product. So as your circumstances change, so should your cover. For example, if your income increases but your policy is not updated, the monthly benefit might be based on old earnings, and that could leave you underinsured. And another thing is if your occupation changes, for example, if you move from a low-risk desk job to a high-risk construction role, that impacts your your risk calculation with the insurer, and they may require policy adjustments. The same applies to your health. Any new diagnosis or treatments might not be covered unless they are declared. So you need to keep your insurer informed. We need to look at it as more like a living document that you update as your life changes and any changes happen in your life. Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense, Sherry. How often then should someone be assessing their income protection needs?
So as I've just said, as they're changes in your life, in your occupation, or if you decide to take on some new activities or a hobby that could be seen as high risk, that would prompt a change in your policy.
So it's not something that you would, for instance, do monthly or annually. You've got to assess what your change in life is and then react accordingly, right?
Correct.
So often people have only employer-provided group cover. Explain what the common gaps are in those schemes that we would need to be cognizant of.
So when it comes to employer benefits, so that definition becomes really important when we're looking at disability cover. And some policies only pay if you're unable to work in any occupation, while others might be linked to your own specific jobs, own specific job. And the latter is known as your own occupation cover. And that provides far better protection, especially if you're a skilled professional. One thing to look at in that regard is the waiting period. So this is the time that you need to wait before benefits start being paid. A 90-day waiting period is common, but there's some that may offer shorter or longer waiting periods depending on your needs and the premiums. And also, we need to check whether the policy includes any escalation benefits to just ensure that, you know, the payout keeps up with inflation, and also just read the fine print to look out for exclusions that are related to, say, pre-existing conditions or any lifestyle risks, as I've said, which could result in a decline claim later.
As you say, waiting periods can vary from 70 to 90 days. It's the 90 days that could often be very detrimental. Is there or are there specific criteria that should guide the choice of waiting period?
It's all dependent on affordability most of the time. And that's where it's important to now look at the savings that you've got and to see how far that would carry you through a period of no income. But the shorter the waiting period, the more expensive the cover would be. So that now depends on your affordability and your level of savings.
And always read the small print from what I can gather. So you've got to look at definitions like accidental versus illness related.
Correct. Some disability cover might only pay out in the event that you cannot perform your own occupation through an accident. And if you, for example, have a stroke or have an illness that then leads to disability, they might not be able to pay. So it's important to look at the fine print to see what exactly you're covered for and what your insurer has signed up with you.
So, Sherry, what would typical exclusions be then?
So typical exclusions would include things like if you have a pre-existing condition, if you already have, for example, a heart problem, the insurer might not be able to cover you in the event that your disability is caused by that pre-existing condition. If you are someone who is engaged in high-risk activities as a hobby, if you like things like paragliding, I'm just giving examples, things that are considered high-risk by the insurer, they might put exclusions on those specific activities should that lead to disability.
And importantly, you recommend allocating part of a lump sum payout to retirement contribution. Explain that to me, and how would you calculate the right amount?
Yeah. So if you become permanently disabled, you are not only losing the ability to earn an income, but you will also lose the ability to contribute towards your retirement savings. So a lump sum disability benefit can help you close this gap. You can use the payout to, you know, do things like settle debt and also just start investing in a retirement annuity. You can even use the funds to purchase an income generating asset to support your long-term financial needs. So that's where capital disability or a lump sum disability benefit then comes into play and cover those gaps.
Just a final question then, and I think lots of learning for people here who are often very ignorant of the whole disability cover practice. What practical steps would you suggest for someone who wants to build or improve their disability insurance portfolio today? Where do they start?
I think the great starting point would be to first evaluate your risk exposure. And that essentially starts with understanding your lifestyle and how it's funded. For example, if you have family, are they dependent on your income? You need to consider your debt levels, the number of dependents that you have, and also think again, as I've said, about your savings. You might have enough savings to carry you through a certain period of time before you need disability cover. Also, if you are a sole breadwinner in your family, your risk exposure would be much higher. And then the other thing to look at is that your type of employment. Are you self-employed? Do you have any access to any work-related disability benefits? Because if you don't, then your safety net is quite limited. I think another consideration is the actual nature of your job, especially for those people that are in physically demanding or specialized occupations, because there will be a higher likelihood of not being able to return to those specific roles after an injury or illness. A full evaluation considers both the likelihood of the disability and the financial impact if it does happen.
A very significant and important conversation, this one, and lots of homework for us. Sherry Tapfuma, I do appreciate your time, Associate Financial Planner at Crewe Invest.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.